Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, Jong Lee here with AJ Hoffman. Hour number one in the books, hour number two just getting started. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. And I forgot to do this the last hour. It's time to get on the map.
Map it up.
Sportsmap.com is your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. The site covers all your favorite teams, trends, and events. Check out content from some of your favorite radio hosts, including John Granato, Lance Zierlein, Charlie Polillo, Barry Warner, Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, AJ Hoffman, and Fred Fowler, and more. If you're not on SportsMap every day, you're missing out. Check it out right now, sportsmap.com. And there's great articles on sportsmap.com, including video from your favorite girl, Holly.
Oh,
she's talking about Nick Foles and the Eagles. Joel and Mario Ellie have a video on they named it two-man game valuing home court for the Houston Rockets. Lance Zierlein wrote about he's pondering if LeBron James could be a Pro Bowler in the NFL. Dell wrote about apathy.
Who wrote that?
Lance did. I guess he was a little bored.
Come on, Lance.
Dell wrote about apathy can be a killer for a franchise. And Barry Laminack wrote about problems with college basketball.
All right. Barry doesn't even watch college basketball. He didn't know the problems. didn't know their problems. He didn't know their struggle.
It's kind of interesting. The thing that he did was he broke down like college players and their draft position and how effective they are coming out of college. And he broke it down in the last 5 years of the top 10 picks in each draft year and how they fared their first year in the league. And the stats are pretty eye-popping. And last year's draft class, the total average points per game, 9.68 for the top 10 picks. And most of these, and if you kind of look at the drafts, most of these players that get drafted in the NBA don't really pan out. And it shouldn't be too much of a surprise. I mean, they never really pan out. There's a couple of draft classes that kind of stand out, but for the most part, you know, these college basketball players adjusting to the NBA, the adjustment level is just too great, and a lot of them don't make it. And if you're kind of made to be a good basketball player, you'll be a good basketball player, I feel like, even though you're on, you know, pretty crappy teams. So before we went to break, I wanted to get a grade from you on how I did the first hour.
Let me ask, what's your grade, Tyler?
I'd say you did pretty good.
Okay. Like a what's pretty good? An A minus good?
I'd say if Fred normally gives himself, say if he gives himself an A, I'd say probably around there, yeah.
So you're giving him an A?
I mean, well, I don't know. He's the boss. I can't talk bad.
Lamont says B so far. He said you seem nervous. And he thinks you over-prepared to have a topic for every segment, and you're not allowing the show to come to you. Very 6'10"-ish, but he can still dig it. So you're turning our show into 6'10". Thanks.
Oh, I'm
Thanks,
sorry.
Thanks, Rich Lord.
I do have a lot prepared. I have 3 pages of notes prepared. They're just
That's
links.
Good.
They're links to stories. And if I feel like I'm rushing, this is the first time I actually led a drive time show, and it's, you know, it's a little daunting.
You just got to slow it down.
I'll try to That's slow all. It down.
You
slow
need more down, stuff, less sports, maybe.
Yeah, we're next segment. I'm taking over. I've got some stories.
Okay.
I've got. I'm breaking out some of the non sports. So I'll give you, next segment, Jong. You'll have a break from your host duties, and you can be the reactor to the non sports stuff.
Okay.
Is that all right with you?
Well, that's good.
I'm going to go B+ so far.
B+? Oh, thanks. Yeah. Are you being generous?
Yeah. Yeah, but you're my friend, so I do that.
I guess one quick thing before we hit.
You're not ruining the show, and that's all I care about.
Okay.
I just don't want you to ruin the show.
Your Baltimore Ravens are contemplating on drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Ooh.
What do you think about that? Because there's a couple reports out there that Baker Mayfield might be the quarterback they might be targeting. And another report saying that they're very high on one. Let's see. They're high on Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, yes.
Oh, boy. Well, there's two ways to look at that. You cannot cut Joe Flacco until 2020, I don't think. And even then, it'd be costly. But with those two guys you mentioned, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, those aren't the kind of players that I would want on the field week one anyway. So maybe it's not the worst idea to build up, you know, build up a quarterback. But that said, God, if the Ravens, I mean, if they do that, they're basically saying, we're not trying to win for the next couple years.
Yeah.
They need so many things.
They do. And you're with the cap number, in 2020, if they cut him, it's an $8 million dead cap hit. And then
it's $8 million in 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, even then, it's expensive, man.
I mean, his cap hit in
20... You can't cut him before 2020. Yeah. It's impossible.
His cap hit in 2020 is $28.25 million, and his dead cap hit is $8 million. So, I mean, that's the first year where I guess you could say you could potentially cut him. But Joe Flacco, since the Super Bowl year, hasn't been... He's been very meh, right? I mean, he's been injured and...
But you paid him.
I mean, at the time, I think everyone said you have to pay the man because just because of what he did to get you there. And I think if this was the Texans and you would ask me if Tom Savage had a run like he did last year, I would say you have to pay him and you'd have to basically eat what he's doing now.
The problem is the Ravens, they're cap strapped, first of all, as always. They always are right up against it, which means that it's going to be tough for them to bring in free agents. They have major needs. Wide receiver is a major need for them at this point.
But if you don't have a quarterback, do you really need... I mean, Joe Flacco, I feel like, is on the downside.
You're married to him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is... I mean, you can't say, well, Joe Flacco's not getting... He's not doing what we need. We got to find something else. There's no alternative. Like I'm saying, until 2020... Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback for the Ravens, good or bad. But so if you want him to succeed, get him a wide receiver. Get him a tight end. You know, get some help on defense. Get an inside linebacker. I can't picture them spending a first-round pick. They could use offensive line help. I can't picture them using a first-round pick on a quarterback because they've got too many needs. And I if they wanted to find a project quarterback and they wanted to find one in the third round, okay. But you need a free safety. They need D-line help. They need help everywhere. They're not in a position where they can draft for the future because I don't think the Ravens are the kind of team who's just willing to tank for 2 years and then hopefully show up in 2020 and have a new team. I don't think of them as that kind of a franchise.
And, I mean, I do...
They have $8.9 million in cap space.
That's not going to get you anything.
That's it.
So you're basically looking at a zero in free agency unless you start cutting a bunch of people. I mean, or you'll have to get everybody through the draft.
Yeah. And if you're getting everybody through the draft... You can't take a quarterback because you've got one of those. You know, you got to take some things that you don't have. I think there's some guys that'll be available when the Ravens pick that could be like, I don't know if I'll say franchise changing guys, but pretty close to that. I mean, if Calvin Ridley's available at 16, you don't think that helps the Ravens automatically? You know, if you know, Orlando Brown, the tackle from Oklahoma, if he's there, or the safety from Florida State. I mean, there's a lot of things that the Ravens could get right now that could help this team for next year. And I can't imagine that they're already looking forward to 2020. I can't imagine that Ravens front office is already thinking about life without Joe Flacco.
But drafting a quarterback is the sexy thing to do. And I bet you they're toying with that idea, though.
I mean, I'm sure it's a thought, but God, I mean, if I'm them, I'm waiting until the second round. If you've got some guy you've got a crush on and he still happens to be hanging around in the second round, cool. But whatever you think of Joe Flacco, the Ravens won more games than they lost last year, which means they're competitive. They're not a bad team. That's, I mean, 9-7 is almost getting you to the playoffs these days. Why would you hit reset on that and start worrying about what it's going to be like when Joe Flacco's gone? It's foolish.
Yeah, and that's they went 9-7 in a year where Joe Flacco was very, very meh. Like,
yeah, oh,
18
yeah,
to 13 touchdown.
Mediocre.
Yeah. I mean, that's
I think he was like barely over 3,000 passing yards.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
80.4 quarterback rating.
Oh, and he went 9-7. Yeah, that ain't good.
No.
So in one of his worst years, they went 9-7.
Yeah, and I think that also speaks to how good of a coach John Harbaugh is.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Ravens, they expect more though.
Yeah, they do. I mean, if you're the Ravens, you're expecting to compete for that AFC North crown every single year.
Yep.
With the Steelers. So when we come back, AJ is going to do some non-sports with us.
That's right.
Right here on the Blitz, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz, on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler. This is John Lee here with AJ Hoffman. And before we went to break, last segment, AJ said he'll take the reins on this segment with some non-sports.
You've been waiting for that, huh?
Why do you have this giant grin on your face?
No, I mean, you're very excited to hand it off.
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. You're not gun shy, right?
No.
Like, you're not one of those quarterbacks who, when they call a run play, you're like, oh, thank God.
I'll check out of this if it gets a little uncomfortable.
So a driver for a private security company out of the great state of Texas was fired yesterday after an inmate escaped while the driver slept at the Casino Queen Hotel in East St. Louis, Illinois. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the driver was transporting two men from Oklahoma to Texas. And this is where the story gets weird, because if, let's say, I was going to drive you from Oklahoma to Texas, a question you might ask would be,
why am I in Oklahoma?
Why are we in Illinois? Illinois is not on the way to from Oklahoma to Texas. That's what we call a detour.
Just a little one?
Yeah. The driver and the two inmates checked into the hotel around 10 p.m. The driver woke up less than an hour later to find the inmate gone. It's still unclear why the driver, Lamont Henderson, traveled all the way to East St. Louis. He told police he was scheduled to meet a supervisor in the area on Monday, but authorities are still investigating those claims. A spokesperson said the East St. Louis Police Department said officers are still looking for the missing inmate, identified as 33-year-old Brian Jordan. Henderson didn't call the police for several hours after discovering Jordan was missing. Instead, he said he was looking for him. Security cameras at the hotel caught Jordan walking in the parking lot around 1:30 a.m. He took a cell phone and clothing from the transport van and then walked in the direction of Eads Bridge. I don't know where that is. Henderson also informed police that Jordan stole $5,200 in cash that he had in a satchel. Which, by
Wait,
the way,
why are you carrying around $5,200?
It's a great question. It's a great question. There's some suspicion to be had here, in my opinion. A
couple red flags.
Yeah. When questioned by police, the other inmate said he was asleep when Jordan left and didn't know about the plans. Jordan was being transported to Texas over a parole violation for, guess it, possession of methamphetamine.
Oh, we got a meth head.
Oh, yes. He's got the classic meth head look, too. So,
very skinny, scrawny.
Oh, yeah.
Yellow teeth.
Yep. Well, he's all yellow. Like, his whole, it's a weird, it messed up his skin. Like,
was
he's
an Asian guy?
No. What am I, racist, Joe? Come on. And let's go to Hartford, Connecticut for a moment. So imagine Tyler, I'm going to put you in these shoes because I know Jong would never be in them. Imagine you were going to court and you were going to court because you had stolen a car.
Okay.
Would you feel like it was smart to show up to your court appearance in another stolen car?
It's probably not wise.
It's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
That's what Jonathan Rivera did. He was at the Hartford Superior West Court on Wednesday to appear before a judge on a charge of first-degree larceny and tampering with a motor vehicle from February. Parking authority agents scanning license plates outside the courthouse found a car that had been reported stolen. Police kept an eye on the car, and they arrested Rivera when he got inside and tried to drive away. Rivera has now been charged with second-degree larceny and taking a motor vehicle without the owner's permission. It's unclear whether or not he has a lawyer. Can you imagine if he does have a lawyer and the lawyer's like been in court busting his ass trying to get this dude off for his stolen car, and then on the way out, his phone rings. He's like, "Hey, Jonathan, what's going on? I just got picked up again for stealing a car." I mean, That's a tough pill to swallow if you're a lawyer. You're going to have to charge extra for that.
Well, at this point, I don't think you're going to get a good lawyer anyway, so you'll probably have to get somebody that's assigned to you.
Why not?
You got to be able to afford a lawyer.
You don't have any money stealing cars.
What is this, Gone in 60 Seconds?
Yeah. Come on. Last story, and this is really odd. A guy in Akron, Ohio, who was posing as a police officer running a fake scared straight program, he handcuffed and assaulted more than a dozen children while running this fake program.
Oh, no.
Christopher Hinden was sentenced, he's 26, he was sentenced to 5 years and 11 months in prison on 31 charges related to fake scared straight programs. Incidents took place in March and April of 2017 at two Akron schools. He wore tactical gear and carried a gun while running the fake scared straight program, but he's not a certified police officer. The investigation began, this guy's such an idiot, when he tried to bring a handcuffed child into the courthouse in Summit County.
How old is this child?
I don't know, 15? Yeah, 15. Investigators later discovered Hinden tried to enter a courthouse with a handcuffed child at least four times.
Four times?
Hinden once tried to bring a child into the Summit County Jail, and he twice handcuffed children while posing as a police officer at Akron schools. Hinden handcuffed, threatened, and assaulted several students at the schools. Investigators seized weapons, handcuff, law enforcement equipment, and police insignias when they searched his home back in April. What a moron. And that's got to be tough in prison, too. Like, what are you in for?
Fake arresting some children?
I was fake arresting kids.
I was pretending to be a cop.
Yeah, I was.
That won't go over
well. I was snitching on kids who were doing crime, trying to get them to get their lives in order. Yeah, not good. Not good.
Hey, did you see this? The Royals are holding an anti-porn seminar for their players.
I did see that.
And they call it a Fight for Love.
Okay.
They're sponsoring a thing called Fight for Love, a workshop. I guess a anti-porn workshop. And I guess they're doing it in the midst of pitcher Danny Duffy's DUI arrest. And the did you see the pictures that
Danny
came out
Duffy,
of this?
You're drunk. It's porn. It's got to be porn.
Do you see the pictures that came out of this thing?
No.
Let me turn my computer around. This is probably bad radio, but the players look so miserable.
Oh, God.
So if you were just imagine if you were called in by HR.
Imagine you're a professional baseball player at spring training getting ready for the season, and they're like, hey, guys, we got to have a team meeting today. It's about not watching pornography.
And it looks like everybody has their kind of slouching, and they have their, you know, they're crossing their arms. They're kind of like everybody. It looks like it's everybody from the organization, not just the players and coaches, but everybody in terms of like, you know, that works on staff and TV and everything. And it just looks like they're just miserable. And it's just them just slouching in their chairs with their arms crossed. And they look very, very bored. So I'll tweet out the...
Well, it's not a fun conversation either way.
Yeah, just they're basically probably like, just in there, don't watch porn.
Yeah, like what if your parents sat you down and gave you the don't watch porn talk? Like, wouldn't you be like, oh, God, just miserable?
Would be like, I don't want to hear this. I would be leaving.
You would just leave?
If my parents wanted to talk to me about porn.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't want to have that conversation.
Well, what if they were trying to help you get, you know...
Oh, that's
get
disgusting.
Your life right.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what if they're trying to help you with the...
No, they're not trying to tell you what kind of porn is going to get you off the fastest. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
No, I don't think... I don't know your parents, but I'm assuming they would never do that.
No.
They would tell you, don't watch pornography. And if they thought maybe you had a problem with pornography and they wanted to get you on the right track, it doesn't seem like that would be the worst thing in the world.
And apparently this group that came in to talk, it's called Fight the New Drug. And is quoted on, I guess, specifically on porn. It says, rejecting the idea that porn is healthy, normal, or cool. And I feel like this stuff might work in high school, maybe.
Yeah.
Like
not
the abstinence
with,
stuff.
Not with grown men.
Well, yeah, not with grown men. The abstinence stuff, like when I was in like junior high or high school, I think that it might have, you
really
know.
Struck a nerve with you?
A little bit. You
that's because you couldn't get laid in high school.
Well, yeah, that
like dudes
that too.
Who could get laid, we were like, abstinence.
Dude, you know what's crazy? Like, what? I think my middle school brought in AC Green one year.
Oh, really?
To talk about abstinence because I think he was a virgin throughout his entire NBA career. I think that was what it was. But they brought him in to talk about abstinence, and then we just sat through this the whole time when he was talking. I was like, oh, I almost cursed. Oh, bleep! That's AC Green. He played for the Lakers and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh man, that's kind of cool. But now I think about it, that's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, what they should be preaching is if you're having sex, you know,
wear a condom.
Yeah. Some kind of protection.
That's the move. What'd you say? No. Hey, where's intern Andy?
He is probably tracking down an energy drink right now.
I sent him for that energy drink like an hour ago, right?
You sure you didn't send Juggalo Trey?
Boy.
Maybe.
Are we... Is that where intern Andy is? I thought he was. Isn't he like you guys? He's like your cleanup hitter, right? He's like your go to guy.
Yeah. He's
the intern MVP, isn't he?
Well, it is. And to be fair, you sent him at I think 4:15-ish, 4:30-ish.
Okay.
So it's. I mean, that's prime time traffic on Westheimer.
Okay.
I'm just giving benefit of the doubt, just in case.
All right. I guess so. Seems odd. I did give that dude my credit card. He probably ran off to Mexico. Great. All right. I'm going to tell you about Cody. Last August, Cody was working at a big box electronics store. Last month, Cody started his IT career, making more money, working less hours, which is what we all dream of. If you hate what you do, don't get boxed in, guys. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. If you don't have computer experience or training, no problem. Transitioning people into IT is what they do. You attend classes on campus or live online just 2 or 3 times a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career. You could do day classes, night classes, whatever fits into your schedule the best. And it's more than just a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Go take the free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
Oh, From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, John Lee here with A.J. Hoffman. I think the show's going okay.
You think you're doing all right?
I think you're hanging in there? Okay, yeah. We did a little non-sports last segment, and right now we're going to go to Brad Powers, who is the lead college football analyst and also college basketball for pregame.com. You can follow Brad on Twitter at BradPowers7. Brad, how you doing?
Doing well. How you guys doing this fine Thursday evening?
I'm doing okay. I'm just, you know, sitting here doing a show and
watching college basketball on this computer.
Basically sweating Big West Conference basketball. No big deal. What are you doing?
About the same thing, you know. I got to be honest. I was a little down in the dumps starting off the day this morning, at least coming from that South Carolina Ole Miss debacle last night in the final minute. But, you know, so far so good. Kind of some hay in the barn so already for me. But lots of opportunities. Conference tournament week is the preferred week for the professionals compared to actually the NCAA tournament.
So one of the things that I look at, and I'll give you a couple examples of where this might come into play tonight, particularly, and this is a time where I like to do first half bets, because sometimes I think teams that have already played a tournament game going up against teams that have not played a tournament game, you would automatically think, oh, well, the rested team has an edge here. But sometimes, they're playing in a neutral site. So one team has an advantage of playing a game on that court. They know the sight lines. They know what to expect. The other team doesn't. I almost always go with the dog in the first half in these games. Like, for instance, tonight, Marquette-Villanova. I'll be on Marquette first half. Is that something that you see often, or do you see as like an actual factor in these games?
No, I think that's some sound advice there out there for the listeners, and it makes a lot of sense, particularly if you got a dog that's been used to playing, and maybe they caught fire the last couple of days, and show some emotion while the favored team playing their first game there, just trying to feel some things out. Now, obviously, the worry and the reason why you're not taking them full game is that's when actually the rest factor comes into play.
Right.
The more rested team gets their legs, the team that's played three games in 3 days, and you start to see that today, starts losing their legs in the second half. So, I love that thought process there.
Another example of that was today, Xavier and St. John's. I liked John's in the first half. I wasn't going to play him full game, and sure enough, a four-point game at halftime. The second half, Xavier outscores him 55-31. Eventually, the cream starts to rise to the top, but it does take some getting used to those first halves for even if you are a better team. What are some of the matchups tonight that you feel like have a good angle? Maybe we'll stick to the major conferences. What matchups are you looking at tonight?
Well, let's start with the ACC. I think you got a couple of marquee matchups. Obviously, Notre Dame Duke. A Notre Dame outright win probably puts Notre Dame off the bubble and in the NCAA tournament. Although I'm not looking at it. I think one of the more intriguing stat lines out there, since Duke switched up to their zone defense, the under has cashed six straight times in Duke games since they switched to zone by an average of 28 points per game. Market just can't catch up to how good Duke's been playing defense the last 6 weeks. Market has been betting it as far as the Sharps, open 147 down to 143.5, 144, but the definite under trend, Notre Dame-Duke. As far as a lean in that game, boy, 8.5. is a little bit pricey. Notre Dame playing very confident. You saw no lead is safe with Notre Dame right now. 21 points down. You thought they were out last night, and they rallied to win. I would probably have a lean on Notre Dame plus 8.5 in the under. The other intriguing matchup, North Carolina, who just blew out Syracuse. You talk about a team that, you know, is used to that building. They didn't give out a lot of effort, extend a lot of effort last night against Syracuse. They got revenge against Miami. Miami beat them just about a week ago at the buzzer. I think you see a very motivated North Carolina team. To me, that -6 would be a nice first half bet. So, yeah, you know, split the difference, -3. And I actually like the Tar Heels for the full game there, minus points.
I'll give you a team where I think the team that the underdog's on the bubble, the favorite is locked into an at-large spot already. And I'm curious if how much that plays into your thinking on these. But Baylor catching 6 points at West Virginia. Baylor knows they've got to at least have a good showing, because I don't think they're, you know, last four in or anything like that, but I'm sure they don't feel comfortable with where they'd be at today if the tournament started. Do you think that Baylor is going to have a good showing tonight, knowing that they need to show up?
Yeah, I would definitely lean with Baylor plus the current 6 points. Although I'm a fan of both teams. Now Baylor kind of limps in a little bit after that hot 5 straight wins there. They lost 3 of their last 4 games to the Bears, but I think they're built for this particular conference tournament. They go 8 deep where, I mean, they got 8 players that average anywhere from between 21 and 32 minutes. So I think if they get a win tonight, I don't think they get phased. And I do think they need a solid performance. Getting beat by 20 like they did, you know, they lost by double digits on their home floor against West Virginia just a couple weeks ago. Ill afford a poor showing tonight. I think that does put them on the bubble. Plus 6, though, little enticing for me. Give me the Bears.
So I'm wake up this morning, I'm checking lines, I'm seeing where maybe I'm going to get some value, and I come across this Seton Hall Butler game, and I remember just on Saturday, Seton Hall, and I know this because I was on Seton Hall, they beat Butler by 7, and I went back and I went, well, what about when they played at Butler? It was in January, I didn't remember the result offhand, but they won at Butler by 3 back in January. So then I look at the line, and Butler is -1 on a neutral court. So Seton Hall's beat them twice. So I guess double revenge is into play. But I wanted to play Seton Hall, but with the number at -1, it made me go, man, that just it feels like there's something off here, and that makes me want to stay away from it.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think an overrated factor in the marketplace, this whole, you know, it's tough to beat a team 3 times in a season, particularly when they're close, and you got a relatively close line here with Butler favored by 1.5. I disagree with that thought process. I think Seton Hall just might be the better team, therefore them getting points is a little bit enticing. Now, I will say this, both games were relatively close, and they shot well in both games. Seton Hall shot near 50% in both of those, including hitting 11 threes in the first matchup. Butler more known for their offense this year, but there's no doubt about it. And the one I get tired of the media types from ESPN and all the other networks out there say it's tough to beat a team 3 times. I think the bigger revenge game is the second go-around, not necessarily the 3rd time.
There's a game, and I'm going to take you off the rails here and head out to the Mountain West real quick, because there's a game that I'll be sitting down and watching tonight, even though probably no one else will. But I think this New Mexico-Wyoming matchup is pretty fascinating. I think the Lobos have been sort of just gritty, and they've been playing like they've got a chip on their shoulder sort of all season long. They played a really tough non-conference schedule, but they've been pretty good in the Mountain West. They're 3-point favorites against Wyoming. Both of these teams, Wyoming and New Mexico, are teams that typically rely a lot on home court advantage. Now neither team has it. What's your take on that New Mexico-Wyoming game tonight?
Yeah, I lean with New Mexico here, a team that's much hotter than Wyoming entering as far as conference tournament. You got 5 straight wins for New Mexico. Now, Wyoming hasn't been terrible. They've been 3-1 straight up and against the spread their last 4. What a dynamic meeting just a few weeks ago with New Mexico winning 119-114 at Wyoming. You mentioned it, New Mexico has struggled away from home. They're just 4-10 straight up. Wyoming's actually been decent. They're actually 8-8 straight up, so that's not too shabby there. But I'm leaning with New Mexico. Power ratings call it by about 4.5 in this one. You got a team here that has won. Here's another example, a team that has won already the 2 previous meetings. I think the number's a little bit cheap. You can give me the Lobos -3.
All right, I'm going to ask you just for my personal sake, I'm on Cal State Fullerton -1.5. They're down 4 at the half. What do you you think I got a chance here?
Oh yeah, you got a chance there. You know, obviously you'd much prefer to not be up, but with college basketball, particularly in the second half of these kind of do or die games in the conference tournament, I wouldn't sweat that one too much at this point. You're laying a short number. I'll be rooting for you, no question about it.
All right, that's Brad Powers from pregame.com. Appreciate it, Brad. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Hey, take care.
All right, John, you didn't have any basketball questions?
There's no point of me asking. I mean, honestly, you're kind of the college basketball expert on our station, so I kind of felt like Fred there, where you just kind of lay back and let you do the work.
I am an expert, aren't I, Tyler?
Oh, God.
We haven't done a birthday shout-out in a long time. I usually ignore birthday shout-out requests.
Whose birthday is it?
Saturday the 10th.
Okay.
Is Annabelle's birthday.
Annabelle?
She's 8 years old.
Who's Annabelle?
She's an 8-year-old girl.
Okay. Is from one of our listeners?
From one of our listeners.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday, Annabelle.
Yeah, don't be rude.
I thought you were going somewhere crazy with this.
You think it was like Annabelle the horror film?
Yeah, I was just sitting here
that movie's relatively new.
Eight years is pretty relatively new.
You're saying that little girl is relatively new.
She's an 8-year-old girl.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Annabelle.
Happy birthday, Annabelle. I hope it's amazing.
Do you have a gem of the day?
I hope you get a pet cat.
I have a gem of the day if you don't have one.
You have a gem of the day?
Do you want to do one? We can do dual gem of the days when we come back.
Hey, you can be in charge of the gem of the day. Okay. Did you prepared for one?
Yeah, I did.
Then we shall.
All right. When we come back, we'll do the Zadok Jewelers gem of the day here on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Fred is on vacation. He'll actually be back tomorrow. You guys will be at the Hyatt Regency across the street from here. John Lee filling in with A.J. Hoffman, who finally got his energy drink.
I did.
I'm expecting a belch within the next hour or so.
Make no guarantees.
How
you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. Gone by pretty quickly. I think the second hour, maybe because, that last segment, you and Brad were going at it with college basketball. So I kind of had a segment to myself to prepare for the rest of the show.
Okay. To get your head on straight.
Yeah. But, okay. I think it's going okay. I think the first hour or so I was kind of going a little fast. I had all these stories that I wanted to get to, and we were kind of zipping through all these stories. And I think when we took that break around 5:15, when you kind of did some stories, I think kind of recomposed myself.
Rejuvenated you.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're back in the game.
A little bit.
Back in the game.
Yeah, so we'll do our Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
How long is the longest you've gone without taking a poop?
Oh. I don't know, probably 3 days.
Wow.
4 days.
Like, I have to take one every day.
Now I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes twice. But like when I was in the Army, the food that, like, especially when you're out in the field, the food they feed you is specially designed to make you not poop.
Oh. That's kind of cool.
No, not really.
Like, does it hurt your stomach when you can't go poop?
No, but it's like, it does, like, it makes it uncomfortable when you do finally poop.
Mm. It's just all fiber.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, it's built for you to hold on to.
Like, I probably go at least 3 times a day.
At least?
Yeah. I go at least once when I wake up. And then I'll probably go when I'm here at the station, because I'm here, 8 hours a day. And then when I get home, I'll at least go once before I go to sleep. So I'm kind of a pooping machine. But anyway, so it's very hard for me not to go a day without you using number two, because it hurts my stomach. There it is.
Ooh, yeah.
That might be one of your strongest ever.
Ooh.
That might be one of your strongest ever.
Now I feel rejuvenated. I feel like a new man.
So this guy, Lamar Chambers, and this comes from, I think this is in England because it's reported by the BBC. He went 47 days without pooping.
Oh, no.
Before I start this, Ron Culver, who produces on 94.1, gave me the story. So the story is Lamar Chambers fought the law. And the law came in number two. Stupid little joke there. The BBC reports the Poo Watch has officially ended in the UK, with the 24-year-old released on Monday after 47 days in custody in which he refused to have a bowel movement. Chambers was arrested in Essex in January on January 17th, and police suggested...
Great.
Suspected the alleged drug dealer had swallowed his stash and decided to wait him out. It didn't work after what Sky News reports was seven court hearings in which the police sought custody extensions. And even though Chambers ate and drank daily, prosecutors decided to drop the charges, possession with intent to supply, against him due to insufficient evidence. Though he was then rearrested by police on different drug charges, suspicion of being concerned in the supply.
So he was intentionally not pooping?
Yes. He was released on bail. Chambers was then taken to a hospital and treated. The BBC reports it's believed to be the longest anyone in custody has gone without pooping, though the human body can go longer. Newser previously reported a 16-year-old British girl died in 2013 after she reportedly did not have a bowel movement for 8 weeks. And that remained the one classic poop story gone wrong. So this guy, because he didn't want to get charged on drug possession, didn't go poop for 47 days.
I read this story earlier this morning, and one of the, I guess, side effects of that is... he can probably never control his bowel movements ever again.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Dude, it's not worth it.
Not
just
worth
do a little time,
all.
Man.
Yeah. Take the L.
Do a little time.
That was your...
Don't mess up your poop shoot forever.
Oh, I guess if he... I was going to do it. Never mind. If he gets arrested, it'd be easier to, you know...
Oh, yeah, his poop shoot might get messed up anyway.
Yeah, if you're in prison.
That's true.
And if you're a druggie, I feel like you are probably going to be on the wrong end of, you know, prison time. So
yeah.
I guess that would kind of help it a little bit, right? Ease it in.
So inappropriate.
Shame. That was your Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Do you think man centers can help this man with his...
No. He's ruined.
They can't fix
He's
that?
He's ruined.
They can't fix that?
I don't know. I don't know what their capabilities are, but Listen, if I were a doctor and you did that to yourself, I'd be like, dude, I'm not helping you. You messed up. You're going to have to walk around in a diaper for the rest of your life. That's your punishment.
How bad of a stay in prison would have to been for him to not poop for 47 days? Like, what charges? Like, drug possession?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how long...
And what kind of drug was in there?
What kind of charges are you... trying to avoid that you wouldn't poop for 47 days? Like, what would be worth it?
I think part of it was...
It had to be multiple years, right?
Yeah, like, well, they obviously knew that he was a drug dealer, so they went after him. But also, I think it's like he wanted to just beat the man, you know? And maybe it was like a point of pride for him.
Well, now he's got a point of pride that he's going to be pooping in a diaper for the rest of his life. That's that pride effing with you.
Well, I guess...
That feeling, that's poop in your pants. That other feeling, that's pride.
Well, I guess he could be a better drug mule too now, huh?
Yeah. Well no, he'd no, be
no,
worse
no,
now.
It would come out of his butt.
He's like, oh, I've got the drugs. Oh, I've got bad news. I lost the drugs.
Like, it must have fell out.
Like, if you're...
I dropped them. Whoops.
Can you imagine? So if he swallowed these baggies full of drugs and they were like pretty potent drugs, wouldn't you think he'd be high as F right now? Like during
well,
his
but
prison
if it's
stay?
In a baggie.
Like, wouldn't the baggie like disintegrate in
no,
your stomach
plastic,
acid? No,
man.
It wouldn't.
Yeah, no, it'd hang in there. What, you never swallowed a bag of Coke before?
No.
Come on, dude. I mean, I've never held it in for 47 days, but I feel like we've all swallowed a bag of heroin at some point, right? Tyler, am I right?
You may be on your own.
You didn't do that in Costa Rica?
No.
Oh, man.
I figured that's why you went to Costa Rica, to be a mule.
No. I mean, I brought back coffee, not cocaine, though.
That's too bad. Somebody wants to be your friend. Well, that's that. This is where you say, and that's the Zadok Jewelers gym.
Already did.
Oh, we already
did. I was trying to do the Man Centers thing.
Yeah.
To,
oh, yeah.
Just trying to hook you up.
Oh, I've got Man Centers now?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I asked about Man Centers.
Oh, I thought you were just curious.
No.
Wow. Man Centers, they're like...
Jameson on Twitter. You need to check it out during the break.
Guys, Man Centers wants to tell you about your fertility. And they know that you might have a low testosterone count, and that could cause, it could affect your fertility. And they're thinking, man, I'll just go get those shots. Well, Man Centers wants you to know that's not great for you. They're focused on enhancing your body's natural ability to produce testosterone. Constant injections can cause dependency, damage fertility, cause long-term health issues, and cause shrinkage. Nobody wants shrinkage. John, you can't even afford shrinkage. I mean, you're on the borderline of being a man. Man Centers, they've got a way out. And I, speaking of a way out, we thought of this the other day. If you want to sit at home on next Thursday and Friday and watch basketball, get a vasectomy on Wednesday. It's the thing to do. Vasectomies are the best thing in the world. I promise you. I got one, and I think it's the best decision I ever made. It's just pew, 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 all over the place. Nothing's happening. No babies. No babies being made. That's the way to live. That could be you, and you could watch basketball on Thursday and Friday. Just go to Man Centers. Make an appointment at mancenters.com. They've got three locations here in Houston, one in Pearland, one in Tomball. Or give them a call, 832-358-8600. Mancenters.com to book your appointment. Man Centers, helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives.